All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Luke this morning, the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. During our life stage hour for the past month and concluding next Sunday morning, the men and ladies class. We've had a men's and ladies class, and we've been looking at womanhood, manhood. And on Mother's Day, I shared with the church family, and I trust answered the question, what is a woman? And we stressed the fact that a woman has been created female. Now, this morning, we want to pick on the men. This morning we addressed the women folk on Mother's Day morning service. So this morning we're going to address the men. And ladies, you get to listen in and hold us accountable on what it means to be a biblical man. So biblical manhood is my title for the sermon this morning. And let's begin by reading Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verse number 40, it reads, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him," in reference to our Lord Jesus. And also note verse 52, please, of Luke chapter 2. Verse 52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Let's take a moment to pray and ask for God's blessing this morning. Oh God, once again we reflect our dependence, our need for you to work within our hearts. Please teach us, instruct us, inspire us, O God, to be all that you'd have us to be. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. We see within these verses the fact that Jesus Christ personified biblical manhood. He personified biblical manhood. The Bible teaches us he waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then in verse 52, that he increased in wisdom, he increased in stature, he increased in favor with God and man. The Lord Jesus personifies biblical manhood. He is known as the Son of Man. Within the Gospels, for example, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the title Son of Man is given of our Lord Jesus no less than 85 times. 85 times in four Gospels. Jesus Christ is known as the Son of Man. Jesus Christ personified biblical manhood. We see today the workings against biblical manhood. We discussed in our men's class this morning the feminization of men, which is an epidemic today, where men are behaving, reacting in ways that are feminine as opposed to masculine. And I stress to the men that women like for men to be men. And all the women said, amen. Amen. Get it? Amen. 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 Women like for a man to be a man. And in fact, men like for women to be women. to dress like women, to have hair like women, to talk like women, to walk like women. Mannerisms, behaviors that are feminine. We as men like that. God made them male and female. The feminization of men is an epidemic today. Also, there is the problem of men that will just refuse to grow up. What we refer to as the teenization of men, where we have men that are still boys. They won't grow up. At 30 years of age, they're still playing computer games. And yet they call themselves a man. No, you're a boy. Grow up, if that's you this morning. Grow up, please. We need men to be men. We need men to stop being little boys. It's time to put away the little toys and live and act like a man. So we have the refusal for males to be males, to be men. They're still little boys at the age of 30. And mummy's happy for that. And some of you mummies that have a man that is carrying on like a boy, I would challenge you to say, grow up, son. You heard Pastor say it, grow up. Be a man. Be a man. And also we have the problem today of what we refer to as the maleization of women. It seems to be people are confused that there is a distinction between male and female. We have men that dress like women and we have women that dress like men. We have women trying to be men. Play football like men. Lift weights and try to build big muscles like men. That's ridiculous. As we would say theologically, it ain't going to happen. Because our bodies are different. You have a female, you have a man. So we have this confusing of the genders. And then we have the centralization all around us, where we have a distortion of the distinction of womanhood and beauty. Womanhood and beauty, and it's been replaced with lust and lasciviousness. And all of these are working against biblical manhood. The feminizing of men. We have men that just refuse to grow up. They just want to be little boys. They refuse to grow up. Then we have the maleization of women, where there is no clear distinction between male and female, and God calls this an abomination. And then we have sensuality all around us, where the dignity of womanhood and the beauty of womanhood has been replaced by lust and lasciviousness. Proverbs chapter 5 deals with this issue. Pardon me, Proverbs chapter 7. Pardon me. Go to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. It's a wonderful chapter. In verse number 1 of Proverbs 7, it reads, "My son, keep my words and lay out my commandments with thee." Note verse 5, "that they may keep thee from the strange woman," the immoral woman, "from the stranger which flattereth with her words." Look at verse 10. "And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart." Then note verse 13, "So she caught him and kissed him and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. And then the chapter concludes in verse 24 to 27. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children. Attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Sensuality, lasciviousness, lust. This is what we see in our day. And all of this is working against biblical manhood. Biblical manhood. Jesus Christ personified biblical manhood. And we need men to be men. On Mother's Day, we addressed that God made the woman from the man to complete the man. A woman has been created female. And we know what female stands for, do we not? She is created feminine. She is created equal in value, but different in roles. She is created maternal. Women can have babies, men cannot. Just in case you're a little bit confused on that point. Women love to adorn, A, to beautify, to make nice. L stands for lead. Women need to be led. If you don't lead them, they will lead you, men. And this is what we see in our day, which is a detriment to our society. It's not God's plan. And then E, women are emotional. Female. You didn't know that's what female stood for, did you? Well, now you do. Now we need males to be males, to reflect biblical manhood. What does it mean to be a man biblically? Well, let's go to Genesis, back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1 sums up what it means to be a man biblically, a biblical man. In our men's class this morning, we talked about reflecting the fact that we are masculine. But what does it mean to be a biblical man? It's summed up here in verses 26 to 28. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. It reads, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. Verse 27. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth over the earth. What does it mean to be a man biblically? In answering that question, it is summed up in the word dominion. Dominion. Note then verse 28, he is to have dominion over. Man is to exercise dominion over creation. Man is to exercise dominion over creation. This responsibility was given to Adam first in verse 26, and then to both Adam and Eve in verse 28. Their mission was the same. Their roles were different. Those differences were rooted in creation. For the Bible teaches us there in chapter 2, verse 18, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." So God made the woman from the man to complete the man, and by aiding that man is to exercise dominion. We are to exercise dominion. A man's responsibility for dominion can be used for good or evil if it's not used correctly. Now, what do we mean by dominion? We simply mean to lead. That's what it means, to lead. God said to Adam, "You are to lead within creation. You are to have dominion over the rest of creation. You are to take care and you are to have dominion over creation." So when we talk about a man exercising dominion, we're talking about the principle of leadership. By dominion, we mean to lead over his creation. And the Bible teaches us in verse 28, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Take the lead over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." The principle of leadership. God calls the man to take the lead. God created the man first and then the woman. So the order of creation teaches us very clearly that God calls upon a man to lead, to take dominion. And a woman's role is to aid the man towards that end. And the purpose of this dominion is ultimately to bring glory to God, because all of God's creation is to bring glory to God. We are reminded of that fact there in Isaiah chapter 43, please. Isaiah chapter 43, in verse number 7. "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I've created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. The heavens declare the glory of God." God reflects his glory in his creation, and when you and I as men lead, then we are reflecting God's glory. To be masculine, to have dominion, to lead encompasses taking the initiative, being the leader, to provide direction, to provide security, stability, to provide order, to lead, to be head, to be the husband that God has called us to be a father as God blesses us with children. And he uses his strengths. A man that leads and takes the role and fulfills the role of dominion, God will use his strengths to bring order into his own life and provide protection and provision and leadership for those that he is responsible for. For Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, it reads, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband." And the next little phrase, "And he shall rule over thee." So God said to Adam, "You are to lead your wife. Now, she will try and lead you, but you need to lead her. And I say to the men, time and time again, women are natural leaders. Men need to work at it. Women want to lead. Just look at politics. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace to manhood. Where are the men? Where are the men? So the men don't lead, so the women lead. So you have all of these new independents coming up, and guess what? They're all led by women, predominantly led by women. And God said back in the beginning, Adam, you need to lead her. She will try to lead you, but you need to take over and lead her. That's what it means to exercise dominion, men. We need to lead. Society is crumbling because we've got all messed up. We're questioning, what is a male? What is a female? What does a female do? What does a male do? I'll tell you what a male does. He leads. And this is why society is crumbling today, because men are not being men. And women are trying to be men. And some don't do a bad job, but most are doing a terrible job, because that's not what God's created them to do. Biblical manhood is you and I as men taking the lead to have dominion, and God will be glorified, others will benefit. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. In Ephesians 6, verse number 4, the Bible reads, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Who is ultimately responsible for the education and the discipline of the children? The Bible teaches us, the father, not mummy. Now, mummy's there, and practically mummy is there in those formative years 24/7. But ultimately, the responsibility comes to the father to make sure that his children are being instructed and his children are being disciplined in the ways of the Lord. That's leadership. That's taking dominion. And that's what it means to be a man, to exercise dominion that was given at creation. To lead, to be head, to be that husband, to be that father that God has called us to be, and thereby God will use our strengths to bring order into our lives and bring order into our homes, and order into our homes will ultimately lead order in society today. We have anarchy, we have disorder, we have dysfunctionality all around us because we've got it all messed up. We've moved away from the plain teachings of the Word of God, that God created mankind, God made them male and female. A man is to marry a woman is to marry a man, and in marriage you have children and you raise those children for God's glory. What's so complicated about that? This godly dominion reflects with a fear for God. To be a biblical man means that I'm exercising dominion, I'm leading. Men, you need to lead. Some of you men are allowing your wives to lead. That will lead to the detriment of your home. The nature of this dominion, how am I to lead? I am to lead with a godly fear. It needs to be a God-fearing dominion. A man that demonstrates godly dominion knows his position before God. So what does it mean to be a man biblically? It means to exercise dominion. What does it mean to exercise dominion? It means that I will lead. And men, if we do not lead, the women will lead. And that's to our shame. Oh, but Pastor, they're a good leader. Yes, they are, but God tells us they need to be led. Women are natural cholerics. They want to lead. But you men need to lead them. Who is deceived? Who is deceived? The woman. So if you allow a woman in your life to lead, then she is more prone to be deceived. That's what the Bible teaches. Oh, but Pastor, she's smart. I know they're smart, but they're not called to lead. You're called to lead. You let her lead, she'll be deceived. That's what the Bible teaches. I think God's smart. I think God knows what he's doing. God's all-knowing. So we just need to believe God. That's why our country's a mess. We have women as CEOs. We have women that want to be the prime ministers of countries and wear the pants, so to speak. It's not biblical. It's not right. Men, be a man. You're allowing them to be men. But God's called them to be women. So man up, men. Lead. Be a man. A woman wants a man. Amen. Godliness in our dominion means that I understand as a man my position before God, like Job of old. Go to Job chapter 42. Are we still friends? We live in a mixed up world, I'm telling you. Just in case you haven't worked it out. It's because we've got it all muddled up. The woman is the professional working out in the workforce, earning the six-digit salary. And the man's at home looking after the kiddies. Oh, but Pastor, she could make more money than me. That's not the point. By the sweat of his brow, he needs to be out there working, providing for his family. And your home, ladies, needs to be your priority. Your husband's your priority. Your children are your priority, not your workplace. Amen. That's Bible. Don't get upset with me. That's Bible. If men would be men and they worked hard, we wouldn't have unemployment issues. Because a lot of the jobs out there have been filled by women where they can be filled by men that are too lazy to work.
So if a woman fulfilled her role as a woman and a man fulfilled his role as a man, we wouldn't have unemployment. You work it out.
Job chapter 42, verses 1 to 6. We need to have a God-fearing dominion. We lead with a fear for God. And this is what we reflect, is reflected in the heart of Job here in chapter 42. It reads, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes." See, Job demonstrates a God fear. He comes to the point in his life that he understands that God is God and I am nothing really before God. And you and I as men need to exercise dominion. We need to lead with a God fear in mind, that God is first of all. He is preeminent. And this should humble us, as Job was humbled by the fact that, God, you can do everything. You can do anything. You are ever present. You are all knowing. You're all powerful. You are God and I am nothing. He had a God fear. Abraham had such an attitude. He humbly submitted to God, who said of Abraham in Genesis 22, "I want you to surrender your son." He didn't question his God. He had a God fear. So men, we are to take dominion. Men, we are to lead, but we are to fear God. We need to have a God fearing attitude, God-fearing dominion, where a man demonstrates godly dominion in that he knows his position before God. He knows his place under God, and he exercises that privilege of leadership with humility. God-fearing. We need to be Bible-centered as well. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. In taking dominion, in leading, in our homes, in our workplace, in our society, we need to be God-fearing, but also we need to be Bible-centered. Note there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 12, it reads, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full." Verse 12, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Bible-centered dominion. A man that demonstrates godly dominion knows his purpose for God. He not only knows his position before God, God is everything, I am what I am by God's grace alone. He'll humble himself before God. A man that exercises godly dominion will be Bible-centered. He will demonstrate his dominion. He will lead knowing his purpose. He is responsible to impart the word of God to others. He is not only to believe it, the Lord our God is one Lord. He is to love God with all of his being, and he is to pass on that knowledge of God to others. Bible-centered. Men, be the spiritual leader that God has called you to be. It is a shame to have women in our homes that are more spiritual than the men within our homes. It is not wrong for a woman to be spiritual. A woman needs to be spiritual. But men, listen to me, men, you are to be the spiritual head. You are to be the one that knows your Bible better than your wife knows her Bible. You are to be more committed than what your wife is committed. Why is it that women read books and men don't? Because men are lazy, women are more diligent. Why am I pulling teeth to get you men to read one book, one chapter a week? What's the big deal? You read all this rot on your phone every day. Why am I pulling teeth to get you men to read books that are spiritual books that will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ so you can be that leader that God would have you to be? It is a shame, men. An absolute shame. I guarantee you the bulk of the books bought in this bookstore are bought by women. Am I right, Brother Wayne? I've done no statistics, I can work it out. When was the last time you men read a book? I'm talking about a spiritual book that will help you to lead spiritually. Men, you need to be Bible-centered. We need godly men. All these so-called Christians everywhere, where are they? Where are they? Where's the evidence of Christianity? I don't see it, I'm afraid. I had a man that was a part of the Clive Palmer party, representative of North Sydney, and he said to me, "Oh, Pastor, there's lots of Christians in Clive Palmer's party." I said, "Really? You wouldn't know it. Oh, there's lots of Christians in the Liberal Party. There's lots of Christians in the Labor Party." You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it. Men, we need to be Bible-centered. You need to be the spiritual head. You need to be the spiritual leader of your home. And the reality is, for most of you, your wife is. That's a proven scientific fact. We're into facts around here. That's a shame. Absolute shame. The nature of godly dominion, God-fearing, Bible-centered. And last but not least, what we call grace-empowered. A man that demonstrates godly dominion understands that his power is in God, not himself. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. The Apostle Paul said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Men, we are called to take dominion. We are called to lead. This dominion, this leadership needs to be God-fearing. We need to fear God. It needs to be a God-fearing dominion. It needs to be a Bible-centered dominion. And it needs to be a grace-empowered dominion, where we are living in the power of God. God's glory cannot be achieved without His power. Our lives need to give the evidence of God's power. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. It's God that wills and gives the power to do His will. And a man that leads, he leads humbly. He resists pride, he leads humbly, and he rests in the power of God. Without God's power, we will only reap sinful results that will not only infect our lives, but infect the lives of others. We see the evidence of that in Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 15 and 16. Those that fail of the grace of God, fail to live in accordance to God's power or dependence upon God's power. And verse 15 reads, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Note the little phrase there, fail of the grace of God. Fail of the grace of God. Fail to rest and apply God's power leads to sinful results, where we are infected and we infect others as well wrongly. Now, how do we get this grace power for our lives? Well, the Bible teaches us God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And as men, we need to understand that we are nobodies and God is everything. God, I need your strength. I need your power to exercise dominion, to lead in my home, to lead in the workplace, to lead in society. God, I rest upon you, whom I fear, whom I obey, to grant me the grace to be the leader that you've called me to be. God resisteth the proud. God gives grace to the humble. Biblical manhood. What does it mean to be a man biblically? It simply means to exercise dominion. What does it mean to exercise dominion? To take thee. Lead. Whether it's the home, whether it's the church, whether it's the workplace, whether it's in community, take the lead. Men, be a leader. Don't leave it to the women. If you let them lead, they can potentially be deceived. That's what the Bible teaches. We need men to be men. We need Christian men to be men. Amen, Pastor. That's what we need. That's what our ladies need. Is that right? Is that right, dear? You want me to lead, don't you? I guess that. I'm trying. Good. Got the thumbs. But I only got one. Two. Okay. And some of you are struggling in your homes because you're allowing your wife to lead. And you are allowing her to live her own life. I challenge you, men, take the lead. And be as Joshua of old, who said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You set the standards in the home, men. The music that's played in the home. The magazines that are in the home. What you watch on TV. What you allow on the computer screen. Oh, Pastor, that's dictatorship. No, that's leadership. That's what our homes need. Leadership. And God has charged you men to lead. So men, grow up and lead. Society all around us is crumbling. Have you noticed? People can't work out whether they are male or female. I can't believe that a man thinks he's a woman. As if God made a mistake. For a man that thinks he's a woman, that's mental illness. That's a mind problem. The world's a mess. And Christians, they need to see, the world needs to see some light. The world needs to see you men leading and looking like, acting like men. And ladies, the world needs to see you women looking like, acting like women. And we'll all be better off. Because that's how God planned it. May God help us. Let's have some prayer. Well, heads about.